Come the Monday, I imagine it'll be Monday or Tuesday or whatever, first of the week. He's going to become a permanent resident of Courtyard. He's give up.
Okay.
Just prayers for that little transition that he's born, he's going back to where he'll die and.
Absolutely.
A lot of stuff going on for him.
What she said, if you didn't hear, she said Bernard is moving into Courtyard, Bernard Fletcher. And that will be a change for him, for sure. So pray for Bernard as he transitions into Courtyard, which is absolutely an excellent move right now, I would say.
Yes,
so he fell this week. So
he
yeah.
fell 10 times between Friday night and Saturday.
Oh, wow.
He just can't stand. He just, that quick run.
Wow. So yeah, that's a must right there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word we're about to look into. I pray for Bernard. I pray you'll give him strength. May his heart and mind adjust well to his new home. We're thankful, Lord, he will be safe there. We pray your blessing over him. Thank you for Lillian answering that prayer. We pray for the life of that child, that she will grow to love you and know you and serve you. And we just thank you for what you've done there in healing and in moving on her life. So, Lord, we open your word now, and it is just that. It is your word, the God of all creation. You've given us your word. There's no higher authority. There's nothing more true, nothing more gracious and loving than your word. So, Lord, bless your word as it goes out now in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm for today is 119. Let me give you a little roadmap here. Little idea. A lot of scriptures today. A lot of scriptures. If you got a notepad, write it down if you're a note taker. If you don't, if you need a Bible, open your Bible. Get a pew Bible. We got pew Bibles around. Grab one, pull one out. The first part of this message, I'm going to take you from one end to the other, connect a bunch of dots so that we can see the goodness of God from start to finish, from here to there. And I'm just going to keep moving from one scripture to another. We're going to read a lot of scripture at the very beginning. And then we're going to make some points, come back. Tie this whole thing together with what does that mean for us? How encouraging is that for us? But I need you to see these scriptures. And Mark will have them up on the screen so you can write them down. If you're quick and you know where these books are and you can turn there, follow along the best you can. I'll take it as slow as I can. But there's going to be a lot of scriptures right at first. First one will be in Psalm 119, verse 49, and then we will move through it. So, Psalm 119, 49, 56, it's under that section. This is what you'll see right there. It's under the Hebrew letter Zayin, and this is how it's pronounced, like Zayin, Zayin. It sounds like a Z. It looks like a sword. That's the letter. It looks like a sword. It sustains. It sustains. It's the sword that sustains. That's an interesting combination, I know, but that's what it is. It's a sword that sustains. The Lord understands. Sometimes the sword sustains. There's conflict. There's trouble. There's affliction. There are things. It's the sword that sustains. Zayin. Let me read this passage, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to look at the first two verses because they could go different ways. Psalm 119, verse 49, Zayin. Remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. You've made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. We're afflicted and we have promises that give us life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. So, as you know, in every verse there's a Z word, and typically each verse starts with a Z word. And your first word, remember, is your Z word. It's three times in here, really. It's in verse 49. In verse 52, it says, when I think, that's the same word, remember. When I remember your rules. And then remember again in verse 55 is your Z word. So hot indignation in 53 is your Z word. My songs in verse 54 are your Z word. And then the word this and the insolent. Those are your Z words. The sword that sustains remembering your word. So I want to look at these first two verses before we hit the trail into the scriptures. And in these first two verses, remember your word. This is our Z word. This is the sword. Remember your word, O Lord. Right? That's what it says. Remember your word to your servant, which you've made me hope. So we're remembering the word. This is to the servant, to some servant, and it gives hope. This is my comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction that your promise gives me life. So the comfort for us in our affliction is that the promise of God gives life or sustains, revitalizes, renews life. So it's these words that we need to explore just a little bit more. And the reason I say that is you could read that and go, remember your word to your servant. Who is that servant? Is it the psalm writer? What word? What word in which you've made me hope? See, this is my comfort in my affliction that your promise gives me life. Who is this servant? What word are we remembering? What promise gives life? And I will argue that the law throughout Scripture, from one end to the other, the law of God, the law of Moses, does not give life. So what are we talking about here? What is this word we're to remember, the word to your servant that gives us hope, that comforts us, and that gives us life, particularly in our affliction? And that's where I want to go. That's where I want to hit the trail to find out what word, what servant, what promise that you and I can even grab a hold of for hope, comfort, and life. So, turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. We got a bunch of scriptures here. Genesis chapter 15, I'll keep moving, but turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless. An heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you've given me no offspring. and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, your very own soul shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So there's a word that you and I know and recognize from verse 6. He believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. We see that, we recognize that statement from Romans 5 and 6. We see that Abraham was there believing God, having faith in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And we know that this offspring is Jesus. And those stars in the sky are believers, those of Jesus. So he made him a promise here. This is called a promise, a covenant, an oath that he will do this. Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him. This is Isaac. Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land. And I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands. And I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven. And will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. An oath was given through Isaac that will bless the entire earth, the entire land. His servant. Turn to the New Testament, to Galatians chapter 3. You're following me, right? This is so New Testament. This is so Romans 5 and 6 and Galatians, what we just read in Genesis. But I want you to see it in Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years later, does not annul a covenant made previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a promise that gives life here in this thing. And the servant Abraham and the servant Isaac, and it went right on through. And this psalmist is asking God, remember your word to your servant, the promise that gives life. It's not that God forgot the word. It's that the psalmist is saying, let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. This is my hope. This is my comfort. This is what I'm all about. So it's here in Genesis and it's here in Galatians. Galatians 3:19. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions or because of sins until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, and it can't, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. We are not of the law. The law does not give life. The promise to Abraham about his offspring, Jesus, and the faith in him is what gives life. Galatians 3, same place, verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And listen to what happened then. In Christ, when you became a believer in Christ, there is no longer such a thing as Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to his promise. That's quite a deal. Galatians chapter 3, same chapter, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's us, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Do you see the connection? Are you with me? You see the connection between Genesis and Galatians. The promise, remember your word to your servant, and I'm saying it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that brings hope and comfort and that promises and sustains life. That's not the law. The law's a curse. The promise is Jesus to Abraham. And those who believe later, who believe in Jesus, that's from Genesis to Galatians. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this right now. Okay, it's going to make some of you uncomfortable. Alan, my brother, would you come up here? So Alan's in our Wednesday night Bible study. We love the Lord. Alan's my brother. So I'm going to pick on him. No, I'm not going to pick on him. I'm just going to make him feel uncomfortable. Come right up here beside me. So while we are here in this little section, Alan believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior and my Lord and Savior. The promise to Abraham, the promise, the life, the hope, the comfort is his and it's mine. We both believe in Jesus. Now, Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus, heirs of that promise. As I stand beside this man right here, you can see there's a difference in our skin. And that's the only difference there is. You understand that? We are brothers. I look at him as my brother. I will die for him as my brother. I don't care what color his melanin is. Do you understand that? That is reconciliation. There in the church, there's no place for slaves to sit there, free to sit there. There's no place for women, you sit over there, men, you sit over there. Jews, you get to sit right up here. Gentiles, you sit back there. There is no place in the church of Jesus Christ for any such thinking. Amen?
Amen.
I don't need government to tell me how to segregate myself.
Amen.
I don't need government to tell me how to reconcile to him. He's already my brother in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, brother. There are things coming out, being taught in our schools now, critical race theory, critical theory. It started at a Marxist university in Frankfurt, Germany in the 1930s, where they are going to now teach us and understand what they call race. There is one race. God made it. It's called the human race. And God reconciled us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is no higher reconciling than that for me and that man right there. He is my brother. Paul said in Philemon, you receive Onesimus back like you would myself, my own heart. Myself, my own heart. There is no difference in the church of Jesus Christ. I certainly don't need government to teach me that. And with them teaching now critical race theory in our schools, K through 12, all they're doing is dividing us again. It begins with a chart. What color are you? What age are you? What's your social status? Where do you come from? We'll put you in a box and tell you how discriminatory and prejudiced and biased and horrible you are to each other. Hispanics go here, Jews go here, black goes here, white goes here, and we will tell you just how horrible you are to each other. They are divisive. And I'm here to proclaim this day, that is crap. To have nothing to do with the divisiveness of critical race theory. There is no higher authority than Jesus Christ and His Word. And He says, that's my brother. That's it. And I will not let government teach me how to love each other. Because I'm white and he's black. Because one has money and one doesn't. Because one was born here and somebody was born there. A Hispanic was born there and a Jew was born. I will not let them, because this says in Christ there is no longer. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one, according to the promise that gives life, the Word of God. It's in our schools. They are dividing us, and that's all they want to do. It's in our schools. And they've changed names already. You, parents, need to be aware what it is in these schools they are teaching. They're not calling it critical race theory all the time. It's other names now. I've asked my grandkids, do you have this? Yes, we don't call it that. They are dividing us in our Lord from the day he spoke to Abraham and said, see all those stars. They are all your family. In Jesus Christ, you are one. Please listen to me. There is no better, greater, purer reconciliation of any man, any woman, any person. There's nothing that beats the cross of Jesus Christ and the promise to Abraham and to his offspring. Stay away from the garbage that is dividing our nation and our churches and our people. You have all you need in Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything you need in Jesus Christ. So I say, with that commercial out of the way, but I saw it and I could not answer it, because I'm well versed in critical race theory. All right? I study it a lot. I know what it is. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. I have Jesus, and so do you. So we're going to remember his unifying, beautiful promise that gives life and unity and comfort in our affliction. To his servant, Abraham, it gives us hope. It's the word of God. You know where it came from in Genesis. You've seen it applied in Galatians chapter 3. Turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. We're going to flesh this thing out. This is Moses. And Israel, these children of Israel, have just made their golden calf. They have sinned. They have sinned so terribly against God. God is ready to just wave his hand and wipe them off the map. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 13, Moses does the same thing the psalmist says. Listen. Exodus 32, verse 13. Remember, there's your Z word. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your offspring. And they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Already Moses is saying, Lord, remember your promise to Abraham, Isaac, Israel, Jacob, your servants. Remember, he's saying the same thing that the psalmist is saying in 119. Remember that. Remember that. Turn to Psalm 105. A little bit closer. Psalm 105. Just prior to Psalm 119. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Did you read that? Seek the presence of the Lord continually. That's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Seek His presence in our life continually. Remember the wondrous works He has done. There it is. There's your Z word. There's a sword. Remember the wondrous works He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Abraham, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth to everybody. He remembers His covenant forever. The word that He commanded for 1,000 generations, for all time, the covenant He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute to Israel, as an everlasting covenant. The psalmist knows it. This psalmist is right there. Remember it. Remember it. Remember it. Remember. Remember His word to His servant that gives hope. It brings comfort when we sin. Brings comfort in our affliction. It promises life. It will sustain us. It is Jesus. Seek continuously His presence in your life. Follow Him. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, throw yourself at the cross. He will reconcile us. He brings and births love and unity and reconciliation that fake effort out there could never achieve. He does it. He does it. And they all knew it. They all knew it. From Genesis to Exodus to the psalmists to Galatians, they all are waiting and telling God, God, remember, remember what You said. Remember Your word. Remember Your promise. This is our hope. This is our comfort. It gives us life. This is what we're all waiting for. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. I got one amen. One martyr. Turn in your New Testament to Hebrews chapter 6. And we are now moving on through the New Testament. We have now made our way well into the New Testament. One of the most magnificent books in the Bible for my money. It's all inspired, I get that. But this book is rich. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, and listen to what he says. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely, absolutely, you count on it, I will bless you and multiply you. And thus, Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. He had a child. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise, us, the unchangeable character of His purpose. This is unchangeable. This will never, ever change. That is the plan. And when God desired to show more convincingly, I want to convince you even more. Look, 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 look. Surely, surely, surely. Look, I'm going to show you, swear to you give an oath to you on top of the promise. He guaranteed it with an oath. He promised, and he gave an oath. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, God cannot lie, we who have fled for refuge, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain in heaven, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is an anchor to our soul as well. It was an anchor to Moses. It was an anchor before him to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It was the anchor to Moses when Israel sinned. It was the anchor to the psalmist in 105. It's the anchor to the psalmist in 119. It's the anchor in Galatians. It's the anchor of our soul. He made a promise through Jesus Christ that he will come and give life. You are chained to your sin. You are chained to your division. You are chained to your prejudice and your discriminatory behavior, to your biases, to your male and female, to your Jew and Greek. You are chained to all these things, and I'm going to set you free in Jesus Christ. It's an anchor to my soul in affliction. I have that promise to Abraham for me. It's my hope. It's my comfort. It is an anchor to our soul. It's our strength. It's our strong encouragement. It's our hope. It gets more beautiful. Because it says here where Jesus has gone as a forerunner. He's gone on ahead on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And you know what a priest is. Chapter 7, verse 18. It's on the same page in my Bible. Maybe it is in yours. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. That's why I say he wasn't talking about the law, this word to remember. It was the word to Abraham. The law is useless to make anything perfect. But we have a better hope introduced through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made priests without an oath. But this one, Jesus, was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. It was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy. That's Jesus. This is all Jesus. You and I have a high priest who is holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He has no need like those other high priests to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once and for all when he offered up himself. The law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the promise, which came later than the law, it's further back, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The oath, that promise, it's way before the law. That promise that gives life, that promise that's our hope, that promise that reconciles us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. This priest, this Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. This is Jesus. After making purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, the promised one, the promise that gives life, the promised offspring that gives hope, it gives comfort in our affliction. It gives that promised Holy Spirit that reconciles us into one body, making us brothers. This promised one made a priest forever by an oath of God. After dying on the cross for our sins, do you know what he did? He sat down. Do you know what the priests of the Old Testament did? They got the heck out. Remember Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist? He went into the temple because it was his duty, and he became deaf when the angel appeared to him, and he got out. Because they went into the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was, and they offered sacrifices for Israel, for the sins, and they got out. Because if they made a wrong step at all, they were dead. Do you know what Jesus did? He went into the Holy of Holies after dying for our sins, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Do you know why? To forever make intercession for us. He is never absent, never gone, never went home, never sinned. Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. And he's always there on our behalf. We never have to wait till the priest is in. We never have to wait for him to be active again, for him to purify himself again. He'll never do that. He sat down at God's right hand, always there to bring us hope and comfort and unity and love. Always there praying on our behalf. And he can save us to the uttermost, from here to there, forever and ever. Don't ever question it, unless your priest went home. But mine sat down. Amen. And I'm saved. From now, and if I live 1,000 years, I'm saved because my priest sat down at the right hand of God. And whatever affliction I'm in, whatever comfort I need, whatever I'm in, it's there because I can go to Jesus because he sat down. That's our Jesus. That is this, what he is saying. Remember your word. To your servant, it's our hope, it's our comfort, it's the promise that sustains our life. It's everything, and I know it's going to happen. And he hadn't even seen the Messiah yet. This is the promise that changes men. It doesn't make us try harder or better. This promise changes us from the inside out. Totally transforms sinful, wicked people into brothers who love each other. Nations that hate each other now love each other. People who can't stand the sight of each other now love each other. This totally changes us. Because our priest sat down and sent that spirit that he promised, that paraclete, I'll send you another comforter. He's going to change you forever. He's our hope. Not them. Never. Get away from me. That's the enemy. That is Satan himself trying to imitate what you and I have in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ and what these guys from Genesis to Exodus to Moses to David to the Psalmist to Genesis to Galatians, every single one of them are saying, God, remember, 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 remember where you're going. Remember where we're going. And our cry should be the same. Remember, God. Remember. Remember where we're heading. Remember where we're going. So Psalm 119, that long forgotten little section where Terry started. Zane, remember, remember, remember your word to your servant, which you have made us hope. This is our comfort and our affliction that your promise, Jesus, and now his return, this gives us life. This sustains us. This keeps us going. Listen, listen when? Verse 51, the insolent, the proud, they utterly mock us. We don't turn away from your law. Verse 52, when I remember your rules of old, oh, it comforts me. This comforts me. Just thinking back to your goodness, your oath, your promise, your character, your Christ, your priesthood. When I think about Jesus just sitting down at the right hand of God, he's always there for me. It just gives me comfort in my affliction. Oh, the Jesus that we have. I take comfort, Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked. Man, do I get furious. Man, do I get angry when I watch them try and imitate what Jesus gave us in every sense of the word, and they dare to tell us how to live and reconcile ourselves. They dare to tell us what love is. They dare to tell us things. They're so awful. It just furiates me. But your statutes, I'm singing your statutes. They have been my songs. That's your Z word. That's your sword. I sing your word in the house of my sojourning, because I know I am a sojourner. I am just passing through. This is not my home, but I have songs in the sojourning, in the affliction, in the mocking, in the frustrating anger of watching sinners do horrible things to our culture and our country and our society and our families. It infuriates me. But my song is in the Word of God. And I remember your name in the night, O Lord, in the darkest of nights, in the deepest, darkest of nights, Lord. I remember your name. I remember your word and your promise to your servant, and I gain hope and comfort and life. It sustains me in the deepest, darkest night seasons of my life. And I keep your law, and this blessing has fallen on me. This is mine. I've kept your precepts. I am walking with you, Lord. I am walking with you and to hell with those people out there. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and His Word gives me life. His promise sustains me and gives me comfort and fills me in His Holy Spirit. I need nothing more. I need not a drop of their wickedness. I have everything in Jesus. And so do you. Because your priest didn't make a sacrifice and hightail it out. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high and is there forever and ever and ever to pray and sustain and hold this little church up in whatever affliction we may encounter. That's our Jesus, risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of God. You don't need that. We have everything we need right here. We will show them how to love each other. I will show them what it's like to love my black or my Hispanic or my German or whatever else, brother, you got that you want to drag on in here. We will show them what the kingdom of God looks like when every nation, tribe, and tongue meet in heaven someday and sing together about our Lord and our Savior who sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we cry and we pray and we just filled with joy sing to our Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, the priest who sat down at the right hand of God. You need nothing. You got it. Right here. I remember your word to your servant, and it gives me hope and comfort and life. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus and the cross. Thank you for rising from the grave, sitting down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You're just a forerunner. You went first. Because we're going to follow. And we're going to keep your word. We're going to walk with you. We're going to seek your presence continuously in our life. Because you are all we need. You are all we need, Lord. How dare any church, any Christian, any person think he needs more? You are all we need. Lord, we honor you and love you. We bow down before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.